Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. Okay, yeah, go and just stay in your house. Let me see how things go with you. So Solomon's showing a little mercy there, but also showing his vigor to rule, because if this man is found guilty, I will kill him right here on the spot. Chapter 2, the Book of Kings, with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he speak concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. So David says to Solomon, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Then David reiterates what God had said to him, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee. So David said, follow all the law of Moses. And God had told David, basically, follow me with your heart. But David failed to put that and instill that in Solomon's heart, that is the real thing that you need to do. He basically told him to follow the law of Moses. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether. These are the men that he pulled aside to have a conversation with and killed, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes. Joab held grudges. David was the type, the war's over, let's forgive. Joab couldn't forgive. Something that happened during war, you know, you got one side fighting another. They have their cause, you have your cause. People get killed. When the war is over, David says, okay, the war's over. We're a family. We're all brethren. Joab says, no, that man killed my brother. That man killed this other fellow that I know. I'm going. And he dealt with them. He pulled them to the side after they thought the war was over and everything was forgiven. And he dealt with them. Upon the girdle that was in his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. So David didn't have it in him to deal with Joab, because Joab was close with David. He was his main general, and you know, he served David all of his life. He did things that he thought was good for David that David didn't quite agree with, you know, especially with killing his son after the first coup. But he thought that was best to preserve the king, and David held his peace. But now he's telling his son, do what I couldn't do. Deal with this evil man. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at my table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. That was the first coup. Barzillai sent a big feast to David when he was fleeing. Behold, thou passed with thee, Shimei, the son of Gerai, the Benjamite, and Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Remember the lunatic on top of the hill swearing and throwing rocks at David?
I was saying about that whenever you were talking about how David would actually forgive, after things were done. I was sitting there thinking, in real time, too.
Yes.
Sometimes.
But what is it? Yeah. What is it about a man whose heart is falling for God?
Right.
He forgives.
Yeah.
He forgives everything.
Yeah. And he doesn't hold on to because you understand that you don't hold on to anything in this atmosphere.
Yeah. I have recognized that in my own life at certain times. My heart was so after God. Not always.
Right.
I'm a sinful man. I'm not one that's going to say, I'm a Christian, I'm perfect. No. There have been times in my life, my heart was so after God that nothing anyone could do, even bad things and evil things they would do to me, it would like forgiveness would come over me right away.
Yep.
And that's kind of a barometer to how closely you're following your God with all your heart. Are you holding grudges? Are you having thoughts of deflating tires on your neighbor's car because of what he's done? Look at your heart. Don't look to your neighbor and what he done to you, because true forgiveness comes from a heart following after God. David's heart was a true heart. God said, this man has a heart after mine own heart. So, now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoarhead bring thou down to the grave with blood.
Interestingly, that means gray hair. I just looked that up.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yes, hoarhead. His gray hair. Sounds more ominous than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, because at first I was just like, whoa. Like, the Lord's really mad at that person to call him something like that.
No. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Interesting, 33 years, the same lifespan of Jesus Christ on earth. The Bible has a lot of numerology in it. I wish I had the mind to search it out and come to conclusions on things. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then set Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and the kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, comest thou peacefully? Yeah. What are you doing here?
Yeah, what are you here for?
You're not in your house.
Right.
He said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine. I was king for 6 hours. Remember that banquet?
Yeah. We had yeast rolls.
Yes,
everything.
It did. It was catered. And the treasury paid for it. That tells you I was king. And that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. So he does recognize that. That's a capital L. He's not talking about his father.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about God. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. Now this is, this denied my understanding for years. But he's going to ask for that beautiful virgin that was brought in to keep David warm. And it is not, it's in the law, you shall not have your father's concubine or wife, okay? So to have her would show some authority. He has what the king had, a great possession. But I didn't understand the ramifications and why Solomon had hands down such a hostile judgment on his brother. But it came to me. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say to thee nay. So I know if you ask Solomon for this thing, he'll give it to you. that he give me Abishag, the Shulamite woman, to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Now, she's just a goofy blonde at this point. She doesn't have any clue what the meaning of this would be. Sure, yeah, why not? I'd kind of not like to have her around my son anyway.
Yeah.
Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her. What do we see when Bathsheba came in to the king? She bowed to him. This woman, Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, has a lot of power over this young man. The king bowed down to his mother. It's supposed to be opposite. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand, and it should say as a queen, but it doesn't. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say nay to thee.
And he was blindsided right there.
He was blindsided right there. And she said, let Abishag the Shulamite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife as a consolation prize, door number two, since he didn't get the kingdom. What's behind door number two, Johnny?
Yeah, tell him what he's won.
And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shulamite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother. He has more claim over this throne than I do already. And now we're going to give him my father's most precious concubine, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. That's a bold move he has done, and he has involved my mother in it. Mom, you ain't got a clue what you just asked for. You asked for a shadow government to be established behind my throne. And King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God, do so to me and more also if Adonijah had not spoken his word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And see, I pondered that. Why would he kill his brother over that? Mm-hmm. And then it all the pieces kind of fell into place. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. So he was executed within minutes of this request. And unto Abitar the priest said the king, get thee to Anoth, unto thine own fields. Thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. Says to the priest that supported his brother being king, get back to where you live, because you deserve to die, but because you served my father, I'm going to let you live. So Solomon thrust out Abathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. And tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Absalom was the first son that tried to take over the kingdom with a coup, and actually did, ran David out, and Joab ignored David's orders not to harm him, and he was killed. But Joab sees his other conspirators going down, and he knows he's next. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. And Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go, fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, I'm holding on to this altar. Mm-hmm. This is a this is free, what do you call it, safe.
Yeah, safe zone.
This is a safe zone. Benaiah brought the king's word again, saying, Thus saith Joab, and thus he answered. So he goes back to the king. Ah, he's holding on to the altar and he won't leave. Ah, that altar rule. Man, when they're on base, you can't do nothing to them.
Yeah.
The king said unto him, Do as he hath said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. Go and do him in. The Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return to the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So the Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in the room over the host. As Zadok the priest did, the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, Build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there. And go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine head. And Shimei said unto the king, The saying is good, as my lord king saith, hath said. So I will thy servant. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. So this is the crazy dude that was throwing rocks and cursing David. He doesn't put him to death. David forgave somewhat. And David said, Well, no, David says, I deserve this. I deserve what he's done to me. So his son says, All right, you go to your house. Leave that city, you will die. So he's basically putting it on himself. He can live out his life in the city and nothing, or if he ever leaves the city, he's going to be killed. Came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Machah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, Behold, thy servants be in Gath. Shimei says, Oh man, them servants are expensive. Best servants I've ever had. I don't know why they ran away. I just whip them every week.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been 3 years. I bet they've forgotten that I'm not supposed to leave this city. I'm going to go get them, bring them back. Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. It was told Solomon, Man, there must be the grapevine in Israel. I mean, it's all throughout this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip, 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 gossip. And Ruth comes back and the town is abuzz. Anything that happens is a major gossip tree. So as soon as this guy leaves, somebody says, Oh, he's not supposed to be leaving this city. Go tell the king.
Yeah.
And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. King sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Did I not make thee swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, Know for certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither that thou shalt surely die? Didn't I tell you? You stay in the city, you can live. You leave the city, you're going to die. But my servants ran away. I had to go get them. And thou saidest unto me, The word that I have heard is good. So you even agreed to it. Then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with. Solomon didn't mess around. The king said moreover to Shimei, Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return unto thy wickedness upon thine own head. Okay. Let's look at this right here. When Shimei was doing what he was doing, throwing rocks and cursing David, David says, I deserve that. Don't stop him, okay? I'm sure there was some spiritual influence in Shimei having him do that to chastise David. But it was wrong. You pay for your sins in this life. David didn't. David forgave. But Shimei here is going to pay for his sins now. And King Solomon shall be blessed. The throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. So they killed him. You pay for your sins, Christian. Might be years later. In this flesh, you will pay for the things, the transgressions against God. The only thing you can do is have your heart be in the right place. Oh, two chapters in Kings. Kings is an awesome book, so full of things that are wonderful to listen to and to study. You know, you read through that, you see that this man was killed, but no, he's paying for something. He's paying for the sins he did in his life. That was the anointed king of Israel, the anointed man of God. Even though he had fallen from grace and he was under God's curse, you dare not. Mm-hmm. You dare not transgress against one of the anointed of God. Mm-hmm. But David said when he had the chance to kill Saul, Saul had waged war against David. David said, I dare not touch the anointed one of God. Been good to be with you here in 1 Kings with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7 Radio, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.